That's right.
Okay.
So people get very confused, and we've even had some instances where we went out and said, no, these are ag termites, and you know they've had other pest control companies that have tried to sell them on a subterranean termite treatment. So I just caution people, make sure you know the difference and make sure that you have an inspector come identify those for you, because it's ag termites are very easy to get rid of. Very inexpensive, where subterranean termites can be, you know, a little bit more costly.
So, but whenever I hear of something like that, like ag termites compared to something else, I always kind of wonder, okay, so what is the place of this particular critter in our ecosystem? So what function does an ag termite have in our ecosystem?
Well, yeah, they're going to try to get rid of some of the stalky weeds and, okay. You know, stuff like
so
that.
So they're not all bad.
They're not all bad. Okay. And subterranean termites aren't bad.
They're like
bad.
The brother-in-law that actually pays you back.
Right.
Okay, very good.
Subterraneans aren't bad either. They actually were a good source to get rid of excess wood. We just put a house in their way and everything. But ag termites, this is typically their time of year. Subterraneans are 24/7, 365 and everything. And so actually one of my guys sent me a picture. He wasn't sure when he saw the swarmers and everything, and I said, did y'all have some rain there? He said, yeah, and I said, those are ags, because I mean there was a cue on the termite that told me that it was ags. I could see the gastric bands, and it was yellow versus the solid black of the swarming subterranean.
But people do get confused when we talk swarmers. They do get confused with ants, and there's a very big difference. But it's not necessarily a big difference to you. You see swarmers and they all are kind of look similar, but the difference is an ant swarmer is going to have more of a segmented body. Their wings are going to be a little bit different. So again, I just encourage them to get a pest control operator out to actually look at them, or bag them up and bring them to us. We can identify them.
Okay. And now do you guys do any type of work with, like, for instance, natural defenses against these type of things? Like, would y'all suggest plant rosemary? It's great and it tastes good and it's very effervescent. Any type of natural defenses against these things that you can do to kind of preserve? And I know we've already talked about keeping things away from the foundation of the house,
right?
And making sure there's no direct wood to ground contact. But anything other than that?
Subterranean termites constantly and randomly forage for food.
Okay.
So when that house was built and they, you know, bladed it off, trees removed, things like that. So there's roots underneath there. They will go that deep and find the roots, and then they'll find the moisture and come up. And so it's really, you know, natural. On the outside it might help, but underneath it's not. They're going to find their way into the house. There's two types of homes, those that have termites and those that are going to get them.
I guess the steel frame construction is not a big concern on that particular issue.
No, and we have a perfect example at the office, everything. And they came in, they found a way in, and they worked their way in until they got to a bookcase. And they had lots and lots of books, and they just started thriving on the books.
So just because you've got either a concrete home, something that may be kind of concrete and foam or steel frame, doesn't mean that you're without worries when it comes to to the termite world or wood-destroying insect world.
Exactly.
Okay.
They're going to find something cellulose. Well, I don't care if it's boxes or paper.
Pitchers?
Yeah, pitchers or paper sacks.
Okay.
So
in other words, if you just kind of have if you've got your old family photographs up in a cardboard box up in the attic, that can be a source of food to draw those through. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And Patsy's actually seen, again, there's not much she hasn't seen in this industry, but she's actually seen really expensive paintings, the backs of paintings eaten.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if you're hanging stuff on the wall, like paintings or, like she said, like bookshelves, things like that, and we do have a super cool example of some books that were literally, and that's, it's honestly, it's intriguing and amazing what these little critters can do.
Hungry for knowledge.
Yes, they were hungry for knowledge.
They'll even eat the back off your carpet.
Oh, wow. Okay. So all depending on how hungry they are.
That's right.
So you've told us that termites have a swarm season. Now, what about bullet ants or some of those other types that come in after that? Are there particular seasons that you need to be aware of on those, or are they just kind of – they're going to show up whenever they've outgrown, they're kind of exploring, or?
Well, ants are seasonal for the most part and everything, and all of the ant species are going to swarm. It just depends on the size of the colony and the time of year. Actually, most of the carpenter ants are the end of February, 1st of March, and everything. That's really what really cues us to start looking for termite swarms and everything, because they usually come out first. Fire ants are going to swarm. Harvester ants, the big red, everybody calls picnic ants. ants, those are going to swarm. They're all going to swarm, and they'll all have wings and drop their wings. A fourth of them are going to survive. The rest of them are going to be eaten by birds and other things or just die.
So, and kind of another question, and this goes something that I heard many years ago before I was in real estate, and it seems to be true, but that doesn't always mean that it is. But I had heard that particularly arachnids, such as black widows and scorpions, we don't always think of them as arachnids, but they have an affinity for termites. And so, like, for instance, if you've got a pile of wood that you've neglected in your backyard for a couple of years because you just haven't gotten around to it, that can be a source for some of those areas. Have you guys ever heard of that, or is this just kind of one of those things that...
Not necessarily. I mean, I can see scorpions and everything, but most of the tendencies of the black widows, they're going to be up off the ground, like in garage door and things like that, and termites are not going to be in those rails. But oddly enough, the earwigs love termites.
Really?
Yes.
Their eggs or them themselves?
Them themselves.
Really?
And the fire ants, if the termite colony, the tubes get broken, everything, fire ants will feed on termites also.
Interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
Not that you really want the fire ants, though.
No. No, you do not. You do not. And then that's kind of, let's go to another topic, and that is the topic of bed bugs. Particularly in the rental community, or sometimes what I've been amazed at is just doing some reading at all the different places that you can pick them up at. And they're not just because you stayed at a low-rate hotel anymore. You've got them from people picking them up on international flights and all sorts of other places. So could y'all kind of treatments, not only for prevention of bed bugs, but also for treatment of bed bugs as well.
So you're 100% right. Bed bugs do not discriminate. They don't care who you are, how much you make, how clean you are. It doesn't matter. And you can literally pick them up anywhere. You can pick them up at restaurants, movie theaters, hotels, airplanes. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, even in the airport, if you sit in a seat that somebody in front of you had bed bugs, you could pick them up. It's endless. Nurseries. It doesn't matter. Hospitals, it does not matter. So that's the biggest thing that I would just encourage people. When you do go somewhere, take a look around your surroundings and just be aware, because it takes just a couple of seconds for bed bugs to crawl on your person or in your purse or whatever. So just be very, very hyper aware of where you're at. If you have questions about how to inspect when you go stay at a hotel, please call us. We'll give you the things to look for, because that's the last thing you want to do is pick up bed bugs when you're on vacation, bring them home, and then all of a sudden we have to treat your entire home for bed bugs.
So on that note, would you like to give us your phone number as well as your email address?
Absolutely. We would love to do that. So you can always call us at 653-0069. You can email us. We have actually just email me, Bridget@bugexpress.com, or Patsy@bugexpress.com. We try to keep it pretty simple with our email addresses. You can even come by and visit us at 2210 Austin Street. We're always happy to answer questions. We doesn't necessarily mean we're going to try to sell you something. Just come by and ask questions. We'd love to help and educate.
So, and give us that phone number one more time, please.
Absolutely. 653-0069.
Okay. And I will attest to the fact that they don't just try to sell you stuff. They are a great information clearinghouse. Everything from if you are out of town and you suspect there may be an issue and you don't want to bring it back with you, give them a call. Well, it's been great visiting with you, and y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.